We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
It is Sunday, the 23rd day of September 2012. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours, as we are every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, 5 to 7 Eastern. We have a very important transmission lined up for you today. Coming up after the break, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura will join us. He recently made headlines on CNN saying every war starts with a false flag. That is coming up. Then Lennon LaRouge, love him or hate him, he's always informative. He says World War III is a distinct possibility. A lot of top brass says that as well. He'll be joining us. And then Dinesh D'Souza, the guy that's got one of the top documentaries in history out right now, 2016 Obama's America, he is going to be joining us as well. And even if you've heard Jesse Ventura, or you've heard Dinesh D'Souza, or you've heard good old Alex Jones, spread the word about the broadcast. Look, I know a lot of my regular listeners know as much as I do, or even more. You guys correct me all the time. You give me a lot of key intel. I get calls. Why haven't you covered this? Well, I didn't know. Thanks for telling me. So, you know, I'm all work and no play, so that makes Jack a pretty irritable boy. I don't really think it makes me dull, but I'm trying my best here. So, again, thank you all for joining us on this Sunday transmission. Last week, we saw a federal judge reinstate under an emergency request of the U.S. military. That means Obama. He runs them to reinstate the secret arrest of U.S. citizens. I thought I'd cover this right now. Federal judge reinstates unconstitutional NDAA. Earlier this week, a federal judge in New York, Raymond Loyer, granted the Obama administration, that means globalist operatives, an emergency stay that temporarily blocks a ruling by U.S. District Judge Kathleen Forrest last week blocking the NDAA. Loyer offered no explanation or rationale for the temporary stay. However, the Justice Department has asked an appeals court to block the injunction, Politico reported last night. The Obama administration characterized the ruling by Forrest as unconstitutional. Isn't that nice? It's unconstitutional to say you can't secretly be arrested. The Justice Department said the ruling was unprecedented and argued that the executive has the right under the Constitution to deny anyone indefinitely to detain anyone. Let me say this again. The Justice Department said that the ruling was unprecedented. We're Hitler. Woohoo! And argued that the executive has the right under the Constitution to detain anyone indefinitely without due process, permanently. Taken away forever. Off with their heads. That's what America's about. The Fifth Amendment specifically mentions due process of law. Yeah, habeas corpus. The NDAA also violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, stating that all people be treated the same under law. The federal government argues the National Defense Authorization Act did not expand its authority beyond what already existed under the 2001 Authorization for Military Force, as interpreted by judges in Guantanamo Bay habeas corpus cases. Oh, the judges the military appoints at a torture camp. This pernicious law poses one of the greatest threats to civil liberties in our nation's history, writes Brian T. Troutman. Under the AUMF, this law can be used by authorities to detain forever anyone the government considers a threat to national security and stability, potentially even demonstrators and protesters exercising their First Amendment rights. And as we go to break, I'll say this. What was in the news 2 weeks ago at the Democratic National Convention? Peaceful demonstrators were arrested driving cars to get out of them and go protest, and held, and the feds said to the judges, please hold them indefinitely because protesting is, quote, low-level terrorism. And they presented the judge, not a Department of Justice, but a Department of Defense operating domestically. Anybody knows third world countries and dictatorships of the military operating domestically, that the military wanted these citizens held. Ladies and gentlemen, the NSA is already spying on you. We already live in glass houses. They're already putting cancer viruses in our vaccines and fluoride in our water. And now they say they want to disappear us. All I say is thank God for the Second Amendment to defend ourselves defensively if these tyrants try to round us all up.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. Of course, number one New York Times bestseller as well. His new book, I think, is one of the best I've ever read, Democrips and Republicans, No More Gangs in Government. We're going to be breaking that down first today. Then we're going to talk about the good news. That's right. They announced last week we had Tyrell, his son, on as one of the producers of the show and one of the stars of the third season with Sean Stone, Oliver Stone's son. They're finally going to air it. I thought they weren't. After, blocking it airing for about 8-9 months. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Al-Qaeda being put in Libya and Syria. Now we've got to invade because they're blowing up our embassies and killing people. And then we'll also get into his take on the New World Order being announced openly. We're going to play some clips of the news saying that and get his take on 2012 and all this hubbub. All right, continuing, though, I want to get in with him into this report right here. U.S. sends two warships to Libyan coast. Again, two U.S. Navy guided missile destroyers were sent towards the coast of Libya following the killing of U.S. ambassador to Libya and three consulate employees, Fox News reported, citing unnamed military officials. Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans were killed on Tuesday after the diplomatic facility in Benghazi was attacked by an armed mob angry over a U.S. production film that is said to be insulting to Islam's prophet Muhammad. Now think about that. And then this film looks like a total and complete psyop at every single level. Continuing, consulate attack NATO stooges now ludicrously point finger at Gaddafi loyalist. Lame attempt to shift blame away from U.S.-backed extremist. So now they're trying to claim that these are groups loyal to Gaddafi or that it's Iranians. It's admitted Wahhabist al-Qaeda that's been doing this. I mean, that's even admitted in the British press and the German press and other outfits. This is not debatable. This is not debatable what's going on. But we now have Governor Ventura getting into his new book, Democrips and Republicans. Gov, good to have you with us.
Hi, Alex. Always a pleasure.
It's just good to have you here now. It's good to hear your voice. Well, I tell you, your book couldn't come out at a better time. Tell us, I mean, I've read it. It's an excellent book, but tell us why you wrote this new bestseller.
Well, I wrote it because I want people to understand that we have a completely broken system created by the Democrats and Republicans. It's a system based completely on bribery. If you do bribery in the private sector, of course, you go to jail. But it's alive and well in our political arena because that's how it works. If you don't grease the palm of the congressman or senator, you're not going to get an audience with them. It's all money talks and you know what else walks.
Well, you're right about that. And you know, it's becoming more and more evident that Romney and Obama are bought and paid for by the same interest. So where do you see it going? Once one of these stooges gets back in and the globalists just continue this takeover?
Well, I think it'll just continue on. That's the thing, you know, when they always like to tell you if you vote for a third party candidate, you're wasting your vote. You've heard that, Alex.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to reverse that and say that if you vote for a Democrat or Republican, you're wasting your vote because you're going to get the same government. It does not matter with these two. As you stated, they're both bought and paid for. If you go to their two conventions, you'll see the same lobbyists there with trunks full of money paying them all off. And so it makes no difference who wins because we will have the same policies. And I fully expect as soon as the election's over that within a year or so, we're going to be at war in Iran.
Let's get into that right now, because we were talking before we went on air about the fact that they admittedly put al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria, the NATO's funding them, and then the Wahhabists shoot up and kill the ambassador. They're attacking our embassies, and now they're dispatching Marines and warships and Predator drones to deal with the Saudi Arabian jihadis our government put in there. I mean, this is even crazy for the New World Order.
Well, you know, everyone likes to hold Ronald Reagan up on that pillar, And let's go back to Ronald Reagan. You remember when the Marines were attacked in Lebanon that time and they killed at the barracks? They killed like 200 of them?
Yes.
Did Ronald Reagan start a war? Absolutely not. He got the hell out of there. And that's my view on this. If these countries don't want us there, then let's leave. And let's leave with our foreign aid. I can't believe today, and there's where I stand with Ron Paul completely. We need to cut off foreign aid to any foreign country, and we need to do it for not only those reasons, but the economic reasons. Alex, our country's broke. Now, let's put that in layman's terms. It would be like if you were losing your house because you couldn't make mortgage payments, and you're going to lose your car because you can't make car payments, and yet your cousin Joe from California calls you and needs $500, and you send it to him. I mean, our country's broke. How can we possibly give out foreign aid?
But as you covered in your TV show with the Wall Street Insiders, they're just loaning us fiat made-up digits, so why not get us in more debt? The big mega banks, they stand to gain by countries being in debt.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, as far as on a political front, if I became president, there would be no foreign aid. I would close every international base and bring all our troops home. And I would have courage enough to carve into that defense budget because it is so bloated. You notice that when they talk about cutting government and cutting government spending, it's never the defense budget, is it?
And how many countries do we have troops in? It's like 165.
Yeah, it's absurd. We're an empire, and every empire falls. I mean, you'd think somebody would read the history of the Roman Empire and realize, wait a minute, we're going right down that path ourselves, and there's no difference to it. Why is it going to be any different now?
You're right.
And if these countries don't want us there, these Muslim countries, then let's get the hell out of there. But see, that's just it. We're there because our corporations want to be there. And the corporations run the United States of America now. It ain't the politicians that call the shots. It's corporate board heads that do it.
And it's total corporate welfare that multinational corporations give paltry sums of money to politicians, and then they commit our money, our treasure, our blood, our young men and women to go into these countries and then antagonize all these people. It's just amazing, and we're paying for all of it.
You know what's in my book, Alex?
I've read it.
Did you know that most of the big multinational corporations spend more money on lobbyists than they pay in taxes?
Yes.
Isn't that an outrage? They spend more money on lobbying and getting our elected officials into their back pocket than what they do paying taxes to our government to run it. We pay the taxes and they make the decisions.
What do you see happening? I mean, I understand it's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, but it looks to me like Romney is probably going to end up getting in there. What's your take on that statement?
Oh, I don't think so. Not after the blunder he made today. The latest polls now have Obama ahead 50-43.
I did see that.
Because Romney turned it political and attacked Obama when this tragedy happened to the, you know, over in Libya and all that stuff, where they should have worked to bring the country together. And instead, Romney went ahead and drove the axe through to divide, and he blamed it all on Obama and all of that. And the public reacted very negative. Even a lot of the bigwigs in his own Republican Party said he blew it. And the latest polls now show Obama with a strong 7-point lead.
Sure. Well, that's John McCain. John McCain went with this ambassador to actually stir it all up over there and fund Al-Qaeda going in. So he has a stake in this not coming out. I'm not defending Romney, but the issue here is, you know, it was Mr. Peace Prize that has helped start all these wars using jihadis. And so I can see why the power structure doesn't like the fact that Romney brought that up. But I agree with you. Romney was pulling ahead until this new event, but election is still, 50-something days away.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, but I'll tell you what. I can't believe the short memory people have. I mean, everything's about the economy and jobs, right? That's the big thing that they think the election's over.
Yes.
Well, who ruined the economy? It was the Republicans.
Don't touch that dial or that mouse. We'll be right back after these important messages.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
If you want total security, go to prison. There you're fed, clothed, given medical care, and so on. The only thing lacking is freedom. Dwight D. Eisenhower. And he said that at Columbia University in a speech. You can go look that up. So that backs up what Governor Ventura is saying right there, and it's common sense. His new book, Democrats and Republicans, is available. No More Gangs in Government. Excellent book at InfoWarsStore.com. I carry all the best books and videos there on the site. We carry his last two books, American Conspiracies and 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, which is probably my favorite because it's all the little factoids and photos and documents. All those at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsShop.com will also get you there. But his books are in bookstores everywhere as well. And sure, you may know all this stuff or a lot of it. Get the book, read it, then give it to a friend. That's how we're going to wake people up. And there certainly is an awakening. I think that's what the police state buildup is in response to. So, Governor, let's talk about the show. I mean, it got held up for 7-8 months. Give us your take on why that happened. Now it's back on Wednesdays, which we think, obviously, I think you agree is a better night. And then give us a sneak peek on some of the other episodes that are going to be in there.
Well, you know, I can't tell you why it got held up, Alex. We finished them on time in November of last year, like we always do. And all they said was it was editing. And they dragged their feet, and then they finally got around. And 2 weeks ago, I went and did my voiceover work on four of them, and I still have to get back and do voiceover on the final three. But, you know, I'll do them probably as the show starts breaking on television or whatever, or right before in October or whatever, so they'll be done on time. But I can't tell you why they waited that long. Maybe it's because they wanted to release it during the election cycle. I don't know. You know, maybe that was what they had in mind. They never told me why we weren't normally on in the winter like we always are, but I don't mind being on in the fall right now. I think it's a great time slot that they moved us back to Wednesday. It was a huge mistake when they moved us from Wednesday to Friday. Friday's the worst night you could ever have on the second year. But now we're back to Wednesday at 10 Eastern, 9 Central, and we're doing some pretty wild shows. We do one that's very interesting. Does the United States have a death ray?
And of course, that gets into Tesla.
We also do one on, are they trying to create a humanzy, meaning a half monkey, half man person? So there's some wild stuff that we look into this year. And I have a new team on board. We brought on Sean Stone, who is the son of Oliver Stone, the great film producer. And Sean's a graduate of Princeton University, a very, very bright kid. And he fits perfect into our show because it's right down his alley, because he's a huge studier of the Illuminati and all that stuff. He knows it inside and out.
Oh, he has amazing understanding, getting a chance to hang out with him quite a bit there on the shoots. And, of course, Tyrell's knocking it out of the park as well. I just can't wait to see the episodes because, I mean, I was there in part of some of the investigations, but I haven't seen any of it. Have you seen any of it?
Yeah, I've seen four shows, the ones I voiced over. Yeah, I've seen them completely right now, what they'll be, except minus my voiceover and a few small little edits that they'll have to do to tighten it up a little bit. But I've seen four of the shows, and three of them I have not seen yet.
What would you say about this season compared to the other seasons?
I'd say this season it's even more bizarre, and I think this season's going to be even more entertaining for people to watch, because we also get into your buddy Ike. Ike, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I wish you guys wouldn't have got into it. Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, I wouldn't have did it, except it was on Time Magazine's top 10 conspiracies. I mean, people believe this, and, you know, we're also there to show the conspiracy, but we're also there to show if the conspiracy we believe is a fraud. You know, we play both sides of the
game. So you don't believe the Queen is a 5.5-foot reptoid?
Do I believe it?
Yeah.
No, but I'll tell you, it's very intriguing and entertaining, Alex, because you know, when you go back to ancient times, why do wall carvings and pictures on caves and stuff all show reptiles who walk upright?
No, I know. It's kind of like the movie.
It's very intriguing. And if you look at the birth of Christianity, okay, how did Christianity start, allegedly, according to the Bible? A man, a woman, and a talking snake. Well, a snake's a reptile, isn't it? And then when you get into the fact that all of our brains have a certain small portion that's reptilian, which means to tell me I believe in evolution, that means that we were the same if you go back far enough. Well, who's to say that they died off or not?
Jesse, maybe you are a reptoid shapeshifter.
Well, I don't know. I could always swim pretty good, and reptiles usually can swim.
Hey, I was inviting you down here to Barton Springs. You'd love it. Tell us about the surfing.
Well, the surfing is fine. My wife's now doing a lot of paddle surfing. She's doing it more than I am. Wait till you hear this one, though, Alex. This beats all in the United States of America. In Minnesota, right? You have to license a surfboard. Can you believe that? And they require you to wear a life jacket. Now, if Laird Hamilton, the greatest big wave surfer in the world, who rides 40-foot waves, and he also paddle surfs, if he came to Minnesota to do a lesson thing or whatever, he would be required to license his surfboard and wear a life jacket.
That's something I want to get your take on. Because this nanny state is their real takeover system. Now, where they're not letting children run at school recess, they've gotten rid of dodgeball, touch football, and now in a suburb of Houston in the country, a woman in a rural area on a cul-de-sac, her kids were riding on bicycles and scooters. The police arrested her and said kids cannot be in a cul-de-sac. I mean, this nanny state is pure tyranny.
It's awful. There's a reason I was governor, Alex. You know why?
Why?
I figured out the way around it in Minnesota. When I was there to practice, I bought surfboards, and I did not license my surfboard. You know how I got around it? Well, when you license it, you have to give them an address. Well, I gave them my address in Mexico.
Ah.
So I didn't have to license my boards. And the guy said, yep, that'll work. He said, as long as the address you give me on the sales thing is outside of the state of Minnesota, you do not have to pay for a license.
And people should always look for those loopholes, because the establishment always puts those in there for themselves. I was buying a small one-man tiny kayak for one of my children at Academy a few months ago. And they got in my face, not rudely, but, you know, hey, the state police want this. You need to register this. And I said, is it the law? And they said, no, but the police want it. And I said, what, am I going to use it to blow up the dam? And I said, fine, I'm not buying it. And they said, fine, you're not getting it. I started walking out, and the manager goes, no, you can have it. And Governor, we're talking about a $200 little cheap plastic kayak. I mean, what type of country is this where they want me to register my kayak?
The same country that I have to register a surfboard. And get this, Alex, there's no serial numbers on a surfboard. So therefore, how do they know the license this surfboard even belongs to?
What about saying you got to wear a life preserver?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If you showed up on the beaches of Hawaii, the beaches of California, the beaches of Mexico, the surf beaches, if you were wearing a life jacket, they'd probably string you up.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Revolution calling, my friends. Revolution calling. Revolution calling! Revolution calling! Revolution calling, yeah! There's a revolution calling! But what kind of revolution do we speak? Will it be a socialist, communist, or fascist revolution? That's what the globalists hope, as they engineer the collapse of our society, that they'll be able to sell us on radical tyranny as the solution. No, I want to restore the republic of our forebears, of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin. That's what I want to restore. Thank you for joining us on this Worldwide Sunday transmission, the 23rd of September, 2012. Here is Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota. Well, listen, I was down at the Texas coast just 3-4 months ago for one of my parents' birthdays. They wanted to go down there. It was a total nanny state. Now they have like these beach rangers coming up and harassing you and saying, look out if you go back in there. There's rattlesnakes. And just, I mean, I've been going in there my whole life and never had any interaction. Now it's total interaction over and over again, like it was a comedy.
Alex, why do you think I live half the year in Mexico? Mexico doesn't bother you with nonsense like that. If you go out and kill yourself doing something, well, the Mexican people, they're very religious. They will probably say a prayer for you, and they will feel bad for you, but ultimately they're going to say, what a knucklehead he was. Why did he do that?
Exactly, but that's what I'm talking about. But to finish the brief story, I actually saw people henpecking each other because now all the dogs, including Labradors, in lakes and in the ocean are wearing these big life jackets. And I saw a woman come over to people that had some dogs and said, you ought to have your dog in a life jacket. This new nanny state where people come and tell you what to do, not just the cops. What is going on in this country?
I can only go back to the water, Alex. Everybody's drinking fluoridated water, which, of course, we all know fluoride is the major ingredient to Prozac. And that's the only answer I can give you. They're dumbing themselves down, and they're getting all docile because they're drinking Prozac water.
By the way, they call you a conspiracy theorist for having that incredible episode, one of my favorite last year on that, Governor Ventura. But the Harvard study came out 2 months ago, and they looked at more than 20 studies and said it's conclusive. Fluoride, sodium fluoride in the water. It's actually an acid. They remove an electron, so it's worse. That's why it's so bad. It is toxic. It causes cancer, and it lowers IQ massively. So it's not debatable now. So why is it still in our water, Governor?
Exactly. Well, why did they put it in the water in the first place? When, you know, when you find out the Nazis were the first ones to put fluoride in the water. So we're following some beautiful Nazi type thinking.
Exactly. I want to know why in Austin, where I live, because I've seen the film, when doctors go and speak to the council, the mayor laughs at them. I mean, I'm telling you, it is outrageous that they're doing this to us, and they think it's funny.
I don't know. You got me. And well, Brainerd, Minnesota voted their city council to not fluoridate the water. The federal government came in and made them.
Yeah, and since when are the feds doing that in New Jersey, Minnesota, and Texas? I've seen now where the feds are ordering it.
Oh, absolutely. Brainerd, Minnesota, their mayor and council voted that their public water, that they did not want fluoride in their water, and the federal government came in and told them, oh, no, you're putting fluoride in the water. So you don't even get a choice anymore.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it is just such tyranny that we're seeing. Speaking of that, I want to go to a few phone calls, Governor.
Before you do, though, Alex, I got hot news for you, and I'll tell you this for all your listeners.
Please.
I stated that if a grassroots campaign took place across America, grassroots, and didn't cost any money, if they got me ballot access in all 50 states, and if the grassroots campaign could guarantee that I would be in the debates, that I will give serious consideration 2016 of running for president.
Are you breaking that here?
I've said it a couple places, but you're pretty well, they're all the same day, so you're hearing it the same day.
Wow, well, thank you for announcing that, because our show's...
So it's up to the people of the United States of America. If they want to cross this great land of ours, get me ballot access in all 50 states, and then raise enough hell to ensure that I get... Look at it this way, Alex. They always tell us that competition is tremendous in the private sector, right? It's good to have competition. How come there's no competition in the public sector? Why do we only get two choices? Why for 20 years have we not seen a third voice in a presidential election?
Okay, Governor, let me stop you. This is a big deal. We've been talking for 40 minutes here, and now you drop this bombshell on us. So I want to officially have your statement here. So let me give you the floor for a few minutes. Please start over and make the announcement, because my show's big enough that it'll probably end up breaking nationally here that you say it on this show. So, Governor Ventura, please make your announcement.
Well, I said that if a grassroots effort, not a money effort. I don't want millions of dollars raised, and I don't want to do all that. But if there's a grassroots blue-collar effort out there and people do the legwork to get Jesse Ventura on the 2016 ballot for president, and if they can likewise guarantee me, because I've got to be in the debates, I won't do it if I can't have an opportunity to win. And the only way you can have an opportunity to win is you must be included in the debates. If they can guarantee me the debates and guarantee me ballot access in all 50 states, I will give very strong consideration to running for president in 2016 as a complete independent with no party.
Wow, so you're announcing here today on the radio that you will run for president. That's amazing, because we've all been disheartened by the fact that Ron Paul didn't go third party, that he didn't challenge Mitt Romney more, as we've now learned from one of their campaign people, that they made the decision not to do that in Michigan months and months and months ago. And we need somebody third party to inject real issues.
Well, I don't want to even be a third party, Alex. I'm talking about Jesse Ventura as a Governor Ventura as an individual, not even a party. Me as an individual, because my book advocates the abolishment of political parties. So I do not want to be aligned with any party.
So you are a 100% independent, and you're saying get ballot access in...
Get me ballot access in all 50 states, and I think Puerto Rico. Don't they vote too?
Yes. what's the time frame on that, though?
Get me ballot access in all 50 states to where I'll be on the ballot in all 50 states and guarantee me that I can participate in the debates. I will then give heavy consideration to running when I see that's in place.
When did you make this decision that you would throw your hat in the 2012 presidential race?
2016. But the 2016 one, not this one.
No, no, I understand that. But, I mean, when did you make the decision in 2012?
Well, I just kept looking at the whole situation and realizing that something needs to be done to defeat and destroy this two-party, as Ralph Nader put it, the two-party dictatorship. And I I'm up for challenges, and I think it would be just a wild affair to actually be a legitimate candidate for president and be part of no political party.
Well, we need someone who's got the personality, the background, and the understanding to do it, and there is no one out there. Ron Paul is going to be too old, there's no one else who even has the integrity. You know, I don't agree with every single one of your political stances, but I know that you're a real guy who cares about freedom and who can't be bought. I mean, I've studied what you did as governor, why the whole system came after you, why the whole media turned against you, and it was because you couldn't be bought by special interest, and that's what we need, is somebody with integrity. So that's very, very exciting, Governor. So you're saying...
You know what's interesting, Alex? When I was governor, I didn't accept any PAC money or anything at all, no special interest money. Did you know for 4 years in office, I never met once with a lobbyist? Lobbyists were banned from my office. I told my staff, I said, I don't need to meet with a lobbyist. I said, they didn't elect me, so therefore they get no audience with me.
Whether you agree with everything Ventura says or not, you've got to respect the fact that he truly stands for what he believes in and has integrity. We're going to go to break and come back with Lyndon LaRouche, who just had his 90th birthday, straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones, and our websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and don't forget, we stream video of the shows live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us. More straight ahead.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
When you wake up in the morning and the light has hurt your head, the first thing you do when you get up out of bed is hit that streets a running and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. For the balance of the hour, we're going to be joined by Lyndon LaRouche here in a moment. If you don't know who he is, look into who he really is, not who the media says he is. Very interesting person with an amazing historical perspective. And I hear he's got a birthday. Has he already had it, or is it tomorrow? We're going to find out from the man himself. I guess I could go to Wikipedia and find out, but so much of what they say is wrong. We're going to be having Lyndon LaRouche on here in just a moment from his offices. to break down what's happening in the world. And here's just an example. UN armed intervention may be necessary in Syria. That is a official UN press release. Well, there already is armed intervention. The West has been sending in Al-Qaeda and others, and that is now admitted. What we told you 8 months ago when the latest thing started, we told you a year and a half ago the Libya thing was started as a pretext. And now Iran is sending elite troops to aid al-Assad's regime in Syria. That's the London Telegraph, and that's official out of Iran as well. So this is a full-blown proxy war, ladies and gentlemen. Barak hints the U.S. would join Israel in Iran strike. We share the challenge through our timetables are not the same, the defense minister says. A pre-Rosh Hashanah political event, Defense Minister Ehud Barak appeared to hint last night that he believed the United States would join Israel in a strike on Iran to prevent the Islamic Republic from obtaining nuclear weapons. So it's all moving towards that. Israel says differences remain between U.S. and Iran. That's Fox News. Canada closes embassy in Iran. That's a big sign. Intelligence Committee chair describes explosive confrontation between Netanyahu and American ambassador, complete with yelling and screaming at each other. Venezuela grabs U.S. ship saying it has arms. That's Forbes. The point is, things are going into hyper gear. Obama's talking about signing a executive order right now to go ahead and have the Pentagon take over the internet. Even CBS News says it's draconian, anti-free speech. I mean, when they're saying that, you know you're in trouble. In the backdrop, Europe has been downgraded by Moody's to negative outlook. They're coming out with a super bond that'll just put people more into debt to the oligarch banks. All of this is happening, and that's why we've got Lyndon LaRouche joining us, because, well, he was called by, you can look this up. I remember hearing this a couple of years ago. I went and looked it up. It was in the Washington Post. It was true. The CIA director back in the 80s called him, you know, the best intelligence, private intelligence operation in the world. National Security Council members said similar things. He used to land for weekly meetings himself and by helicopter at the CIA command center. You know, Ronald Reagan read his information, and people got jealous, George Herbert Walker, and had him set up and put in prison. I mean, just amazing the type of stuff that they do. And it doesn't mean that I agree with all of Lyndon LaRouche's solutions, but his historical perspective is dead on. And the more I learn in my own research, the more I learn how right he is, which has become a big media event, that Jones is a LaRouchean. Now, what I am is a seeker of truth. That's what I'm seeking out. And that's why he's here with us. And, sir, I hear that you are just about 90 years old. If you count 9 months in your mother's womb, I guess over 90. But I tell you, you don't look a day above 75. What's your secret to longevity?
I don't know. Maybe there's some virtue there somewhere or some reward for something I had done or not done. I just enjoy doing what I do. I feel committed to what I'm doing.
What is your birthday? Is it today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow is tomorrow.
Wow, so you'll be 90 years old on September 8th.
Yep.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
No one can say that you've sat around on your hind end for 90 years.
No. A lot of other places, but not that.
Wow. You know, let's get into world events first. Then I do want to speak a little bit about Lyndon LaRouche today and also open the phones up at the bottom of the hour for people that have questions or comments for you. But, I mean, I just read over just a snapshot of news today. I mean, I see the world lining up like we saw before the first two world wars. Am I wrong in intellectually, historically, but also in my gut, feeling the serious tremors in the force?
I think there are only two major sources of threat. One is the British monarchy, and the other is the British monarchy's puppet, which is Obama. The situation is that as the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the United States have shown, they understand that any war that breaks out now, such as in the Middle East or elsewhere, will be a thermonuclear war. There may be other minor things and conflicts which are going on, but any time the force comes in and someone says we're going to start the attack, it's going to be a full global attack, and it's going to be thermonuclear. And the question is, will anybody survive eventually, not merely out of the war? Because if you get the Soviet or Russian and Chinese capabilities, which are very significant, and against the United States and Britain and something from France, which is the other side. And these forces are going to go against each other on a thermonuclear basis from the get-go. And that means that our submarines, our major submarines, are going to launch in their time. It's going to be a full launch, probably one or two rounds. Maybe within an hour and a half, it's all over. And the world looks pretty dead. So we're at a point where the idea of simple war, or war breaking out, or incidents leading to war, is not going to happen. What's happened is Russia and China have made a very firm commitment not to start a war, but to defend against it. Most people in the United States want no part of this. The only person but really behind it is the president, Obama. And Obama's with the Queen, but most of the people in Britain are not for this nonsense either. So we're on the verge of the worst kind of warfare one could imagine, which would break out very suddenly, with very little warning on any part. Certain services, such as the U.S. services, would understand and know that this is going on immediately.
Let me stop you there, sir, because what you're saying is obviously right on target, but people may not understand. The last two chairmen of the Joint Chiefs, the last three heads of CENTCOM, as you know, people can look this up, journalists can look this up, have refused to attack Iran, saying it would bring in China and Russia. Now they've sent the fleets over to menace China, and they think that that's going to allow this attack. But now even Dempsey, who's been known as not as smart as his predecessors, has been convinced and came out, as you know, last week and said, hey, I mean, the exact quote was a headline was, do not blame us when Israel strikes and don't think we're supporting it. So that type, I mean, to have chairman of the Joint Chiefs saying that shows that the military establishment who love wars, I mean, you know, that's what they do. I mean, they love to be commanded off to war generally, are saying, do not do this. How significant is that? That signifies a mutiny within the saner sectors of the power structure.
I'm not sure the word mutiny is the right term. The point is because nothing that the Joint Chiefs and others are doing in that to that effect is a violation of anything on their part.
Sure, sure. I mean, that's the wrong term. It's a sanity call. What would you call it then?
The point is, if you've got to throw this president out of office, even though he's just been nominated, I don't think it's going to stick. And he's not in a winning position right now.
But what does it mean inside the government, where you have so many connections, to have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs come out and say something countervailing what the president and certain sectors of Israel are pushing?
Yeah, but the Joint Chiefs are operating within their powers of government. And the president doesn't dare challenge that directly because the president is not a popular president.
Am I right to say that it's seismic, though? I mean, how big of a deal is it to have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs come out, say that, and it gets almost no press?
You're talking about if you're a member of the Joint Chiefs and you're a patriot as I am, you're not going to play games and guessing games or anything with this policy. We know that any major war that breaks out on this planet will be a thermonuclear war. There are no minor wars possible. You cannot have a continuation of the war with the Middle East at all. Any such war will lead to thermonuclear war immediately. And that means that within about an hour and a half, most of the world is dead. No sane head of government would launch it. But I think there are some people who are not so sane, including our current president. But don't assume that with all the bula-bula that he's going to win this election. Right now, he's running as a loser, not because the other guys are smart, but because he is so bad, and he's losing anything resembling friends and supporters at a rapid rate.
Again, you have a lot of connections inside the Pentagon, CIA, you name it. I want to get their take on where this is going, other October surprises that this regime could pull, and how we do avert kicking off a wider war in the Middle East. The big proxy war is already on.
Shackles. Don't want no shackles on me.
There's Jimmy Vaughn, my good buddy.
Don't want no shackles.
Was at a great little party with him last night. He was playing don't for only about 40 no people. Amazing. You know, I hope we don't have a nuclear war so I can still go out and hear people like Jimmy Vaughn play.
Down with Big Brother.
Yeah, down with Big Brother.
Don't like those RFIDs.
All right, going back now to Lennon LaRouge, who's with us for the balance of the hour. Very honored to have him. The toll-free number to join us if you've got any questions or comments for him coming up in the next segment. This is a short segment, long segment coming up. Our 800-259-9231. First-time callers for Lennon LaRouge. 800-259-9231. Lennon, again, with all of your sources, I remember you were on a couple of years ago when you said it was building up to this. Now we're here. The power structure that thinks it can have this war, that's trying to overthrow Russia with proxy groups and political groups, the George Soros types, what do they think they're doing? Because then I have neocon groups come out and say, I'm bad and anti-American because I don't want to have war and I'm not supporting Obama. So it's elements of the conservative groups and, you know, the so-called Obama people. I mean, I'm bad, you're bad, because we don't want to have a giant war that even the top military in the news said will probably lead to a war with Russia or China. I mean, how are we bad for not wanting World War III?
Point is, I think that the powers that be are really do not intend to have a thermonuclear war. They intend to have a limited kind of conflict, hope that they can break up resistance and take over and then kill people. Now, the best way to kill people is being done in the United States by those interests who have shut off the food supply, those who were insisting, like this president, on cutting out food consumption in an area where we are going running short of the food necessary to meet people, and he's trying to turn it into gasoline or something of that sort. It's the attempt to use bluff, threats, even terrible threats, exemplary cruelties, these kinds of things, trying to break the will of nation after nation, the way we unconstitutionally got into a war in Libya, which was a violation of our Constitution. And it's that wear and tear process, working on people's nerves and trying to drive them, intimidate them, and so forth. And the problem we have here is you see it in the election campaign. Now, Obama is not winning the election right now. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. That's a different matter. The game is the bluff, intimidation, the daily, weekly murders this president is doing without any constitutional authorization for it. We have the evidence to throw him out of office. Well, the problem, we have a weakness on the Republican side on this thing, as well as the problems on the Democratic side.
Well, as you point out, Congressman Jones from North Carolina has introduced the legislation to begin the impeachment. Obama says that NATO and other groups command our military and that Congress should just sit down and shut up.
Well, I think the truth of the matter is that there are some of us in the United States who are influential. As you know, there are a limited number of people who are really influential in the sense that they can push things in a direction which is, say, positive or the other way. And it's a limited number of people. The rest of them tend to follow pressures put upon them. And I think we're at the point that the really responsible layers in the United States, apart from the very much frightened and quiet one, remember, the poverty of our people, the suffering of our people is beyond anything. This is worse than the last, you know, Great Depression. And our people are suffering this under this president in particular. I mean, the deliberate action by him in cutting down the food supply in order to make more gasoline, in order to starve farmers and others to death, that's the kind of thing you're dealing with right now. And if we get our act together as a nation, together with other nations who you may not like, but will cooperate with us on this, that cooperation can settle this matter. The problem is we haven't gotten that organized well enough together right now.
Amazing. Lennon LaRouche is our guest, and you can also visit their website, LaRouchePack.com, or also LaRouchePub.com. Lennon LaRouche will be with us on the other side to take phone calls. Before we do that, I want to ask him what else is front and center on his radar. I've got some articles from their site I want to go over, and I want to look at the economy in more detail, the state of the economy, what's happening with the euro, where he sees the dollar going straight ahead.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance.
Yeah.
Well, he turns 90 tomorrow, Lyndon LaRouche. And he is with us on the line right now. Your phone calls are coming up. Lyndon, finishing up with all of your contacts in the Defense Department, in the CIA, everywhere else. Again, even the Washington Post admits you have amazing contacts. And you were here over a year ago saying that the military didn't want to do this. And so much of what you've talked about has now come out in mainstream media. So tell us what else is going on from your contacts that we're not aware of, that we don't know about, that's happening inside of the power structure.
Well, just take the things that don't get discussed one way or the other, at least not in a significant way. Let's take the case of Curiosity. We launched a successful flight of this instrument to Mars. And that may seem just like something very spectacular. It got a lot of support from people, a lot of sympathy. It was done in defiance of Obama. And that's important. Now, the issue here is this. The problems we're talking about on politics are not so much the real issues for the long term. The great danger that we're facing is the danger from rocks in space. Now, this issue has been around for a long time. Edward Teller, the famous Edward Teller, now deceased, was a key sponsor of this effort to deal with this problem. It is an actual serious threat to mankind. Now, we have over periods of time, we have these giant rocks hitting different parts of the planet and taking out areas such as the equivalent of entire city areas, metropolitan cities, things like that. But once in a while, you get in the history of mankind, not in terms of living history of mankind, but of the territory, you get one big rock hits the Earth. And everybody on Earth dies, or everything on Earth tends to die. It may come back later. So we're now in a point where the key issue before us in terms of defense of nations is the defense of Earth from these rocks. And the increase of the danger of that source is notable. So therefore, we've got to do something about it. And what happened was, by putting this thing over the president's strongest objections, to put this thing on Mars, on Curiosity, on Mars, we set into place an absolutely indispensable mechanism by which at the speed of light, which is the communication between us and Mars, we can determine things and make decisions and to plan actions which will enable us now to realize what Edward Teller tried to deal with while he was still alive, the danger of rocks from the area of Jupiter down into so forth.
Well, that's right. When they saw Shoemaker-Levy crash into one of the gas giants and they did calculations, they know now that every few thousand years we get hit by big rocks, every 100 or 1,000 or so we get hit by these big mega rocks, every million or so ones that kill most life on the planet. And it just shows that why does the current ruling elite, because we've had corrupt elites before, but they wanted to build things, they wanted to advance things, they wanted to, I mean, even old colonialism, depending on the variant, did some good. Overall, it was bad. But now I see things like the new Obama 2012 film with Dinesh D'Souza coming out. And he's there, you know, saying Obama is a anti-colonialist. That's why he wants to destroy the West. But really, he's one of these British monarchy monopoly globalists that is actually trying to destroy the old hearts of empire. They're in a type of Malthusian de-evolution program against the old nation states. How would you quantify that?
I would quantify that by the British monarchy quantification. Reduce the human population, presently estimated in the range of 7 billion persons, to 1 billion persons in a short order. And that's the British policy. That's the policy of Obama. Oh, he hasn't put it in exactly those terms, but that's what it is. What has he done? We don't have production of food anymore. We are destroying food supplies as they're being produced by turning them into, you know, chemical fuels. So we are actually in a process of a small group of people, really. It's not a big crowd. It's a small group of people. But our people have been so crushed most people in the United States are crushed. Their existence is being crushed. And, you know, since the past three generations or the past three administrations, the rate of destruction of our economy is horrible. So the problem, the issue, real issue is to get back to a real economy, which means we have to get rid of this hyperinflation. And that can be done by one law. We can get rid of the whole hyperinflation.
Bring back Glass-Steagall?
Yep. It'll do
Let me ask you this question, because I know you're a historian in this area. I mean, this is a Venetian black nobility balkanization form of welfare developed between the city-states in what is Italy today. We know that. It's exported to England. That then becomes the model of empire. But why get us into the minds of these people. Why do they want to not have a space program? Why do they want to make people poor? Why do they love? I mean, why are they so evil?
Well, take the case of the Roman Empire. Roman Empire died, and all these empire systems have died. They've died out of their own self-destruction beforehand. Byzantium, the same kind of thing. The old Venetian system, again, the same thing. The Dark Ages were the old system. Then you had a revival of the same kind of system, which came up with the Anglo-Dutch version, which was called the New Venetian Party. The New Venetian Party was then established the British monarchy and established it as an empire. And so, therefore, you have a history of this tradition, of this kind of system, of what we call the oligarchical system, comes up where a few people are tried by various means to control the planet or large parts of it and do a general destructive thing. The problem has been that despite our constitution and despite our intention and the intention of some other countries to this effect, we have not been able to secure an actual system of government which conforms to what our intention was in creating the United States. Even the United States was unable during much of its history to avoid being crushed and gobbled up by oligarchical influences. And that's the same thing now. You have a very small minority of the influential part of the populations of various nations who are now raising hell against the human species. And this old thing is there, and we have somehow lost the guts to get rid of it. Because what you see with the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the United States, and you see with similar institutions in Europe and other parts of the world, that we do have the implicit ability to mobilize the kind of reforms which could be readily applied now to give us a system of global nation states, which would be, they might not all agree with each other, but we have a way of living together as nation states.
Briefly, before we go to calls, sir, can we get your take on the current state of the economy and what's happening in Europe and where you see all of that going?
We're on the verge of an actual disintegration of the world economy, a chain reaction kind of breakdown. If this policy continues, if Obama were to continue as president, I can assure you that you would not have civilization on this planet. So and the Republicans aren't doing anything good, but Obama is something with his foreign influences, which is the greatest threat to the existence of the United States and other nations that I know of on this planet today.
Okay, folks, stay there. We'll be right back with more of this interview with Lenny LaRouche.
Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
What did you make of his statement telling entrepreneurs and scientists and inventors that you didn't build that? I mean, that was a calculated statement. What is the point of a statement like that?
Well, the man lies. There's no truth in him. He's a pathological case. As a matter of fact, as I've described him, if you back in history, he a guy somebody picked up as a result of a wise guy dirty trick as an echo of the Emperor Nero. And if you read the history, the detailed history of the Emperor Nero, and you look at the mentality of this president, you find the two things concur. They coincide. But somebody and some people got the bright idea of taking this character and by means which I wouldn't call exactly legal, got him picked as a president and stuck him in office. And you see what he's done since being in office. He's done everything indirectly as imitations, to some degree Adolf Hitler, in the sense that similar kinds of things were done, and were done by the Emperor Nero and a few other creeps in between there.
Well, yeah, trying to shut down most our coal power plants, trying to pass carbon taxes, trying to end free speech, arresting journalists who talk to whistleblowers, charging whistleblowers with the Espionage Act. I had Chris Hedges, the renowned Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist on, who's a very respected, quote, liberal, and he said Obama is much worse than Bush. And we could say, well, Bush, Obama are puppets, but whatever oligarchy team is behind him are raving lunatics, because there is a madness of power. We tend to look at elites and say they know what they're doing. There's a method to the madness. But you talk about Nero or Caligula, those are good examples. I mean, it really is. They're so disconnected. It's like what's coming out at the Justice Department. These women are resigning now, so that lends credence, and a lot of other suits are getting filed. The bizarre sexual escapades, the dressed up in dominatrix outfits, calling men into their offices, the doing things on air I can't even mention. This is a group of lunatics.
A fair term.
So what do you expect them to do to try to hold on to power? Because you're right. Big Democrats like Hillary aren't going. Rahm Emanuel, left early from the convention this week. Newsweek or was it Time came out and said, hit the road, Obama. I mean, it does look like a lot of the power structure is moving away from Obama. Why is that?
Well, essentially, they know that. But the part of the way the control works through a few very powerful, also financially powerful people in various parts of the world who are able to lure other people into going along with this kind of stuff. You see, many people, for example, we don't have any industries left in the United States today. They were taken away. Taken away in the past dozen years, especially. The people feel powerless. Many people are going to die of starvation, actually, in the United States. And for other reasons. The situation of our people is hopeless. And yet it's very difficult to mobilize the people to defend themselves.
Well, yeah, we've got 47 million people roughly on food stamps. You've got just all these other economic numbers that show we're really in a depression for 4 years. You've got crime exploding. But the mainstream media tries to put a cover on it and say, oh, we left the recession 4 years ago. It's almost a Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. While the Obama administration does everything it can with Economics 101 to hurt poor people while posing as their savior. Imagine if we didn't have the people on the welfare cards, the digital food stamp cards, having 47 million people on the street at soup lines, what that would look like every day.
Well, the problem is that our government has failed us. Our political parties have failed us. The political parties go along to get along. That's their slogan. And this has been, they've been a charge for that for a long time. This slogan of the Senate, the slogan of the Congress, go along to get along. And the rule that generally rules our congressional system, our representative system, is that piece of corruption called go along to get along, which is the motto of the Congress. And as long as we allow the Congress to go along to get along, and thus refusing to challenge their colleagues in the Congress to cut this crap out, then we get this kind of government.
Yeah, I know what's happening historically, and I want your brief take on this, and we're going to go to call, sir. So many times you mentioned Nero and others. When they have all this power, the people in control at the very top start almost flirting with disaster, almost tempting it in their indolence, in their spoiled rottenness. It's like a moth to flame, and they play with destruction. They flirt with it and then bring it.
That's the case of history. You take what we know of human history. We know that this kind of phenomenon is the source of all corruptions. It's something which becomes a kind of a mass movement of self-corruption. And those things have happened. Whole nations and even empires have disintegrated under that kind of corruption. We have not yet succeeded, except in a few exceptional terms, especially in trying to do that with the North American development of our system. But even our system then became corrupted in the same way.
Look, when Time magazine writer Joel Stein makes fun of aborted babies, and I covered it before you got on, and says we should have a beauty pageant of dead babies, and this is Time magazine, it's reached a level of just insane Romans running around doing the types of things that Nero did at parties. And it just shows that these are lunatics. Let's go to phone calls. Joe in South Carolina, you're on the air with Lyndon LaRouche. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Mr. LaRouche, 2 points. One, you talk about trying to mobilize the people to fix things here, get rid of people like Obama. When we have something like the GOP that clearly doesn't want to fix the problem, obviously, because if they really wanted to get rid of Obama, they'd put someone like Ron Paul or the like of that as the candidate, because you pull all the Republicans, you pull a lot of independents, you pull a lot of other people that support that kind of character and would get rid of someone like Obama and start fixing the problem. So we don't even have a political party that A, has the clout, and then B, the second point is that our electoral system is rigged to a certain extent. I mean, our
computer... Yeah, but I mean, there needs to be a question here because we don't have a lot of time. The bottom line is he's saying the power structure itself is beginning to ignore the corrupt elements at the top, and that's the real revolution, is the velvet restoration of intellectually not complying, not going along, and speaking out against the system. I mean, is that what you're getting at, Lyndon?
Well, no, specifically what happens is when many people start to suffer and there's not enough to go along, then some people decide that, well, somebody have to survive and we have to survive. Unfortunately, other people will have to go. And when that policy comes in and that practice comes in, that's what you've got right now. You've got that attitude within many parts of the public. You've got people in desperate conditions, and nothing is being done. And the president who's doing this to them, the worst president we had in our history, this president, is actually the engineer who's being given the support to carry out just exactly those policies.
Amazing. All right, we're going to come back, talk to Brad, listening on XM 166, talk to Scott, Joseph, Anthony. With quick questions, folks, you can, for Lyndon LaRouche, I mean, kind of a speech about how we're in trouble, the political system's corrupt. Yeah, well, we've been talking about that for 40 minutes, 45 minutes. I mean, we know that. I'm not saying the caller's a bad caller. It's just that, yes, exactly. We have an insane ruling elite.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, coming up, we've got Dinesh D'Souza, author of the book that has been turned into the big blockbuster hit, Obama 2016, Obama's America. We have, of course, the U.S. ambassador to Libya killed, deader than a hammer, drug around. And here is the latest out of CNN just out a few minutes ago. U.S. using drones to look for targets tied to attack, U.S. official says, looking for jihadists. So they put them in and then now want to go claim they're going to kill them. They'll probably just kill somebody else they want to get rid of and blame it on them. But pretty amazing to see all of this going on, and a Marine unit has been dispatched to secure consulate in Benghazi after attack. So it is definitely heating up right now. We'll be getting to more of that coming up throughout the broadcast today. We will also continue breaking down other news. This is something we've been covering a lot now. Even children in your backyard, the police are coming and taking you to jail. Or a mother with her children in a cul-de-sac on scooters. That you're just not allowed to do that. The neighbor called. When the snitch calls, the police come and arrest you. If you're an old man cleaning a gun in your backyard in the country, your neighbor sees it from 200 yards away, you're going to jail. The cops don't care. They're like, well, we better pick you up for psychological reasons. Because if a snitch calls, we've got to empower that snitch that they're God. So if he even needs a Supreme Court now, you could just have a snitch, busybody neighbor, just announce the sun won't come up in the morning. And, you know, they've got to, like, send a neutron beam at the sun to blow it up or something because they can't let it come up in the morning if a snitch says it isn't coming up. You know, we've got to stop it. I mean, my point is they act like these snitches are God. It's satire, folks. But what's not satire is mom sues police over arrest, LaPorte, Texas. Stay-at-home mom from LaPorte has filed a lawsuit against the city's police department and an unknown officer and one of her neighbors. Good. Tammy Cooper said she was wrongfully accused of endangering. Yeah, they should charge the neighbor with a false report. Well, the cops, I mean, where's the common sense here? Tammy Cooper said she was wrongly accused of endangering her children and was even forced to spend the night in jail, all because she let her kids play outside in a cul-de-sac in a rural area as she sat in a lawn chair. And they dropped the charges, but it just shows the insanity. Now, this is a short little segment, so I won't go to him now. We're going to go to break, and we've got him, Dinesh D'Souza, very excited about this interview. Because, as you know, a few weeks ago, I went and saw the new film by writer and director, 2016, Obama's America. And he, of course, works in the Reagan White House. We'll give you his bio when we come back here in just a moment. But it gets into the psychology of why they want to lower the standard of living in the Western world, which is an admitted policy. I mean, they pushed the Copenhagen tax 3 years ago in Denmark. When they were over there, they pushed that whole UN program saying they wanted to lower our standard, not build up the third world. They want to block its development as well. And it all ties into this whole Agenda 21, the whole nine yards. So we're going to go to break here in a moment and come back with Dinesh D'Souza. And again, he's in the news today. Deadline Hollywood is reporting that the 2016 Obama's America filmmaker reacts to President's slam looking for network to air before election, says mainstream media, refusing coverage. Well, I mean, if Dinesh D'Souza just wanted to make money, that's probably a good thing, is that the theaters are still packed. Dinesh D'Souza is the maker and a writer and director, and it's based on his book, 2016 Obama's America, that the system fought to even get in the theaters. I went and saw it, was very impressed with the quality of the production. I disagree with a few things in it, and we'll get into that with Dinesh D'Souza, who joins us until the bottom of the hour. Of course, he worked in the Reagan White House as a world affairs advisor and a policy analyst, and he is a best-selling author and journalist, and he joins us now. Thank you for coming on the show, Dinesh.
It's a great pleasure to be on.
Okay, so, wow, tell us about the huge success of the film and where you're going.
Well, the film has become absolutely huge. It started in the summer as a small film showing initially in a single theater in Houston, Texas. Then it went to four theaters, expanded out to about 100. But it did so well in those 100 theaters that it jumped to 1,000 theaters. It's now in 2,000 theaters, so it's pretty much any American who wants to see the film can find it. And on our website, which is just 2016themovie.com, will allow you to see a trailer and see where it's playing. The film has now become, it just surpassed two of Michael Moore's films, Sicko and Bowling for Columbine, and also Al Gore's film called An Inconvenient Truth. So we are now, remarkably, the second most successful political documentary of all time.
Simply amazing. It shows people are desperate for something than the mainstream pap they're being fed, certainly trailblazing in a big way here. Dinesh, the basic thesis, for those that don't know, is that what, Obama is a global wealth redistributor?
Yes. Many people think that Obama is a wealth redistributor in America, and he is. So when they talk about the 1%, the 99%, they think that Obama means in the United States. But Obama's a global guy. I mean, remember, here's a guy who grew up in part in Indonesia, made multiple trips to Pakistan, to Kenya. And so Obama looks at all this from the world point of view. And I think when he thinks of the 1%, the 99%, he puts all of America in the 1%. And there are 99 hungry nations encircling America, all of whom want America's standard of living, America's wealth, America's power, and so on. So Obama is not just recycling money in the United States. He's also transferring large amounts of wealth from America to the rest of the world.
Dinesh, I want to get into the fact that you're in the news today talking about trying to get your film on television. Break that down. I see Deadline, Hollywood Reports, exclusive 2016, Obama's America filmmaker reacts to President Slam, and he's looking for a network to air before election, says mainstream media refusing coverage. Elaborate on that, Dinesh.
Well, it's been kind of odd that, you know, remember when Michael Moore made his films, this guy was everywhere. He was covered by the networks. He was on all the Sunday shows. He was covered widely in the newspapers and so on. Our film, for a long time, was being ignored by the White House, and lots of mainstream outlets just weren't covering it. They were just pretending like it didn't exist. We're in a political season. This is the most successful political documentary of the year by far, and yet it was getting no coverage at all. So this was peculiar, and I think part of it was there was a sense that this documentary has harmful new information that might cause people to change their mind about Obama. So let's not cover it and let's pretend it doesn't exist. Now the White House has figured out, they're like, this has gotten too big, we can't ignore it, it's everywhere, so they've come out blasting it. But, you know, what a clumsy, inept blast it is, because they're alleging all these errors in the film that are actually, not only are they not errors, but they're easily provable. And so I'm very happy to get into this one-on-one debate with Barack Obama. I don't. It's a debate that I'm not worried that I'm going to lose.
Now, continuing here with the success of the film, do you think it is having a major bearing on the election, or could it be something that actually causes people to wake up to what Obama's doing and swing the election over to Romney?
The film isn't political in that way. I mean, it's not a film that's sort of a just don't vote for Obama. In fact, it's the bigger issue here is the American dream. And in the film, we contrast two dreams, the American dream and Obama's dream. You know, I'm an immigrant. I grew up in India. And so my dream is the American dream. I believe in a society of merit, a society of in which free markets generate wealth. America is a force for good and for freedom in the world. That's my American dream. Well, Obama has a different dream, and it's the dream from his father. That's the title of his autobiography. And so in the film, we go and find out who was his father. What was his father's dream? And it turns out to be a third world dream, in some ways an anti-American dream. Certainly it's a dream of reducing America's influence in the world, treating America, if you will, as a rogue nation. So in some ways, it is true that Obama holds these ideas, but they're wider than Obama. They're in fact believed by many people in Riyadh and Jakarta and Rio de Janeiro. It's just that we've never had a president of the United States who holds these views.
We'll be back with more with filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza straight ahead. All right, my friends, we are back. Here is more of the amazing interview I did with filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza and his new documentary, which has been the number one film this year and documentary, number two documentary of all time, Obama's America, 2016. Here it is. Dinesh D'Souza, maker of the second biggest political documentary in all time, 26 million grossed in a month. It's going to be the theaters another month and a half, then go to DVD. Look, I think your film is a masterpiece. I mean, it's cinematically, the style. I'm a filmmaker myself. The Obama Deception is free online for folks that want to watch that. I mean, I was impressed with what you brought to the table, because most political documentaries are at about a fourth grade level. And I'm not insulting your film, but yours is at a eighth grade, 10th grade level. And I guess in media, they say keep it at about a fourth grade level. But I mean, you actually tackle issues of globalism that, well, there's one point in the film, correct me if I'm wrong, where you say and show the evidence that it's not that they want to build up the third world. They want to bring us down to that level. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, with Obama, it's not about building up. I mean, he rarely even talks that much about the inner city or about the poor. He gets excited when he's pulling down the rich. That's his target. And that's when you begin to see Obama's, his voice rises and he gets animated and so on. So ultimately, this is about leveling down. I agree. And it also, but not just wealth, he's also leveling American power. I think he doesn't like a world in which one country, America, is the sole superpower. He'd like to see Russia come up, China come up, India come up, Brazil come up. He wants to see a multipolar world in which there are many countries sharing power. And by the way, many countries that have a roughly equal number of nuclear weapons. That's why he's spending less time trying to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear bomb and more time trying to slash the American nuclear arsenal.
Let me say this to you. I mean, obviously, you've worked inside the Republican White House of Ronald Reagan. I think it's fair to say you're a Republican operative.
No, that's not fair to say. I mean, I worked in the Reagan White House in my mid-20s. I mean, I'm 51 years old and the president of a college, so I just want to say I'm a conservative, but I mean, I have nothing to do with Romney or the RNC. I'm not.
Okay, well, then now that you've said that, I respect that. And again, I haven't gone over your lengthy bio because of the time, but you're obviously a scholar as well. Here's the bottom line. Romney is the worst Republican I have ever seen. Obviously, I don't have to list everything. When he was actually a governor, abortion, open borders, restrictions of guns, carbon taxes, wrote the Obama plan. I mean, all of this. My issue is that I want Obama out of there. I don't want him to not be facing re-election. I mean, even if Romney's going to be bad, at least he'll be facing re-election. So I am saying, okay, I see people that want to support Romney. My issue is this. What will you do if Romney gets in and continues what some of these monopoly capitalists want that have been financing Obama, who want tyranny, not liberty, who don't want a free market? What are you going to do to Mitt Romney if he gets in and continues what Obama's been doing?
Hey, listen, don't give me any ideas. I may have to make another film. But look, I don't know about Romney. As you know, we don't mention Romney in the film. This really is a referendum. I think this election is a referendum on Obama. If I had to say what this election is about, I'd even say it's about Obama versus Obama, right? There's the celluloid Obama, the mythical Obama that was put out in 2008, the unifier, the healer, the centrist. I claim that Obama does not exist. And then there's the real Obama, the guy in the White House, the guy who can't change, the guy who can't move to the center, the guy who has been affirmed in his mind by a combination of radicals, revolutionaries, in one case a former communist and domestic terrorist, Bill Ayers. I mean, these were his buddies. These are the guys. This is the real Obama. So it's a matter of, does America want
to... Wow. So you're saying all the communist pornographers and weirdos that he lived with and was associated with, you're saying that wasn't just his foundation cover as a leftist. You're saying he really is a real globalist, Marxist-Leninist, deindustrializing crazy man.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If Frank Marshall Davis was introduced to him by his grandfather. So, all right, I'll say that was somebody that his grandfather brought him in front of, and he was only 10 years old when he met Frank Marshall Davis. But every other guy, the Palestinian radical Edward Said, the Brazilian socialist Unger at Harvard Law School, Bill Ayers, the incendiary preacher Jeremiah Wright. I mean, Obama didn't bump into these guys. He sought them out.
No, I understand.
Because he wanted to hang around radical revolutionary guys who he imagined to be surrogate fathers, kind of like his real dad who wasn't around.
Let me raise this in the 5 minutes we've got left with Dinesh D'Souza here, the maker of 2016 Obama's America, which is an amazing film. Dinesh, looking at this then, if he's as bad as you say, and I think the evidence is there, fast and furious, a false flag against the Second Amendment, the list goes on and on. We've got all these Obama advisors in the Financial Times of London, you name it, saying, don't worry if he's down in the polls. There'll be an event we're going to blame on their enemies. They don't say they're going to stage it, but they imply, don't worry, something's coming. I'm sure you've seen that in the news because it's been pushed for 2 years. Are you concerned he could pull an October surprise?
Not so much. He could. And that's a possibility. What I really do in the film and my work is I say I don't even need to go there. I don't even need to speculate about what he could do. I'm just going to look at what he has done, and I'm going to extrapolate out to what happens if he just keeps doing that over the next 4 years. So So he's added $5 trillion in debt. Let's say he adds another $5 trillion, a very cautious and reasonable estimate. Then America will be $20 trillion in debt, and $10 trillion of that will have been added by one man, Obama. And then I say, wait a minute, why would one guy want to do that? Why would someone want to saddle his country with almost unrepayable debt? And then I offer a theory. I say, well, maybe he sees debt as a way to settle America's colonial debt. It's kind of like we owe the rest of the world. I can't get a foreign aid program passed that would transfer trillions of dollars in wealth, but I can achieve the same effect because if our children and grandchildren have to pay back all this debt and some of that debt is owed to Kuwaitis and to Saudis and to Chinese, well, that's another way to transfer larger trillions of dollars outside the United States to all these other countries.
But, again, I go back to the issue. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, I mean, you look at the list of people that are not just supporting Obama, they supported all of his policies. They are financing everything he wants. I'm saying these globalists, we need conservatives and libertarians to recognize that there are two different groups of capitalists. They're the free market capitalists. There are the monopoly capitalists who want tyranny, who don't want freedom, who don't want us to have choice, who are working through big government types like Obama to convert us to an authoritarian system. That's all I'm saying is that all this corruption and globalism didn't just start with Obama.
Yes, I agree with that. And then even as I mentioned debt, well, you know, you're well aware, I'm well aware that Reagan added $200 billion a year in debt. Bush, of course, was a big spender. Bush's largest deficit was half a trillion. But again, keep things in perspective. Obama's smallest deficit is more than double that. It's $1 trillion. I think what Obama's done is just lift things to a sort of complete and unacceptable new level.
I hear you. It just makes me so upset to see this country and the TSA sticking their hands down our pants looking for bin Laden while NATO and our own government is putting al-Qaeda in as the main shock force in Libya and Syria. It's so scary to see what both parties have become, the torture, the secret arrest, the wars, all of it. And I cover all that in the Obama deception. I made it 3.5 years ago. It's all come true, unfortunately. All right, well, we're going to go to break here, and I'll talk to you as we go to break and as you leave us, and then I'll find a P.O. box or something to send the film to you. Because, I mean, I get it. Obama's really bad, but I think he's a manifestation of how far along this globalist line we've gotten. Do you think Obama, in closing, may backfire on the establishment and may cause a pendulum swing back towards liberty?
I certainly hope so. I mean, I hope that people are using this sort of intense interest in politics that will be generated this year to think about what's happened to the American dream. And, you know, is this American era, which began in 1945?
We never even got into You Didn't Build That. You know, I agree with Dinesh D'Souza that Obama is a collectivist. In fact, Obama is now out in video saying, quote, I actually believe in redistribution. The media is attacking Mitt Romney, saying that he's wrong to say that it's a bad idea to have half the public on welfare. We're in a lot of trouble because the system can get enough people dependent. They will vote to take our guns, our private property, everything else. The problem is, I don't think Mitt Romney will actually follow his rhetoric of a free market American type system. But regardless, we're putting the info out here, and hopefully we can get this country back on the right track. I'll see you all tomorrow back on the radio, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, for the weekday edition of The Alex Jones Show. Until then, be safe. This is what you get.